Before I get started, just want to say thank you for all those of you who have expressed condolences, have prayed for us over the last 3-4 weeks. Those prayers have encouraged us, helped us, and are still working. I just want you to know, just because we prayed or you prayed once or twice as we were going through that, there's still things that God's going to accomplish through those prayers, so you keep praying. Family's doing very well, but it's kind of like the root canal I got. It's still kind of sore. And it's that way whenever you go through a loss. When you're grieving, things are good because you're glad that people can begin to heal and move through. But at the same time, there's still kind of a bruise. So those prayers are appreciated. This morning, we're going to begin a new foray into talking about stories. And I want to start with one of my own. When I was a kid, one of the things that I hated to do at my dad's house, since I've been thinking about my dad a lot lately, was cut the grass. I did not like cutting the grass at my dad's house, mainly because this yard was boundaried by a lot of bushes that were very difficult to maneuver around, and then some trees that hung over the yard, and the grass under those trees, you know, sometimes the grass doesn't grow really well, and then it's weeds more than grass. And when you're 11, 12 years old, it's kind of hard to decide whether you're going to cut the weeds or the grass or, you know, whatever you're supposed to do. The thing that probably bothered me the most was that whenever I was done, my dad would come out and he would tell me what I needed to do again. It got so bad that I kind of didn't want to do the yard at all after a while. And it wasn't because my dad was mean or angry. I just didn't like being told that I hadn't done everything the way I should have done it. It was sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy after a while. And, you know, I didn't want to go do it, so I didn't do it as well as perhaps I should have done it because I didn't want to do it. So it kind of kept perpetuating over and over again. Funny thing is, my brother never had that problem. Of course, he was 4 years younger than me, and he didn't always have the exact same responsibility whenever he would go cut the yard, but he didn't seem to get the same kind of feedback that I did. Maybe he did better than me. He sure could have. Looking back at those times now, though, I realized that my dad was really trying to help me understand the value of a job well done. That was one of the things. I know. He had reasons to evaluate my work, and I didn't always comprehend those reasons at the time. There may also have been other factors that I would never have considered as to why he felt like he needed to give me that feedback. But the bottom line is this, basically, that I sort of got rebellious about doing that, and it affected my actions. Stories penetrate sometimes in a way that warnings and commands just can't. So Jesus chose to teach us in parables, and not just to get a hearing from the uneducated folk and the lowly, but really to kind of get to our hearts, because stories speak to us, because truth is, we're in a history of stories, each one of us. So I want to talk to you today about one of the parables that Jesus told to get to our hearts. And it's a parable of the two sons. And no, it's not. It is not the prodigal son from Luke. It's the parable of the two sons from Matthew chapter 21. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning, looking at verses 28 through 32. It's very brief, very short, but it's very strong. So here's the passage. This is what Jesus said. Jesus asked the question first. He said, "What do you think? There was a man who had two sons, and he went to the first and he said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered, but later he changed his mind and he went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, 'I will, sir.' But he didn't go. Jesus then asked, 'Which of the two did what his father wanted?' And because they were all bright children..." Oh, remember that? Welcome back, Cotter. Sorry, that was a reference to a very old TV show. "The first," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. You might as well had slapped them in the face than to say something like that. For John came, talking about John, his cousin, John the Baptizer, came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And everyone after you saw this, you did not repent and believe in it. Parables, stories. You know, this story is in the context of Jesus once again talking to those who thought they were religious, who thought that they were on God's side, who had everything pretty well packaged up and knew what it meant to follow God and to listen to God and to live a life that pleased God. Unfortunately, a lot of times they added their own rules and they ended up making it seem more like you had to please them. And Jesus is talking to those kind of folks. He was talking to the religious folks. He wasn't talking to the people who would be outside. So what are some things that we can see when we look at this that was going on in the story? First of all, the father had stuff to be done. In fact, he had enough to be done that he asked both of his sons to go do it. He didn't just say to one, okay, I'm not going to ask your brother today. I'm going to let him go tomorrow. He wanted them both out there. So in the story, Jesus has the father tell both sons. He doesn't ask them. He tells them to go. So he had an intentionality about what he was saying. There's stuff to be done. Don't want to miss that in the story. Second thing, both sons had opportunity. Each son, whenever they were told to go work, had the opportunity to go contribute, to do something of value, even if it was just for the family. They were to go work in the vineyard. Evidently, it was a family that did that for a living. So by doing that, there was purpose. There was contribution to the family, and then ultimately to their own livelihood if they would go do what the father told them. And he must have had a reason for them to do it right then. Number three. There is sort of a kink, if you look at the story, in the response by each son. Neither response was straightforward. One son said, nope, but he did end up going. The other son said, yep, and he didn't end up going. So neither son responded initially the way that you would have thought they would. A little bit different for a parable that Jesus would tell. Number four. If you look at this parable, Jesus was making a point about rebellion and obedience. And it's kind of not what you would think if you were one of those folk who were in the group that thought they had it all together and understood. Number five. Here we see God loves a repentant heart and God loves to see action. You look at what happened between the two sons, you can see that ultimately Jesus would tell the story because he was saying the son that said, yup, I'll go, was like the folks he was talking to. They didn't end up going. They didn't do what they said they were going to do. Instead, if you look at the parable and you see the way he puts the first group on a pedestal compared to that first son, they said, no, I won't go. But then they did. He doesn't even explain or give any kind of discussion as to why they would change their mind and end up going. But they did. And it would seem to show that through the parable, Jesus was saying that God loves to see that repentant heart and action that follows it. And the last thing, it seems to be true in this parable that God wearies of those who give lip service to Him and then do not live the life. To say, I know it, I understand it, yeah, I'm there, I'm so there. And then to not be so there, or not live like it, is something that really is not pleasing to God. Now these are all the things that we can see here. Let's look at an application angle on some of these from some questions. So let me pose a few to you. Simply. Do we love the Lord with our repentance and action. Are we humble before God? When we come before Him in the quietness of our prayer closet, wherever that might be, are we talking to Him, understanding that we are sinners and that He has given us grace? And that His grace is extended yet again, because just yesterday, just this morning, I screwed up again. I wasn't as loving. I wasn't as caring. I wasn't doing things I should have been doing. I was doing things I shouldn't have been doing. Do we love the Lord with repentance and action? Because it's the prostitutes and the tax gatherers that realize their sin and repent and then come back to the Father and do the things that are in keeping with repentance that just thrills the Father's heart. Next question. Are we self-centered and choosing to neglect the stuff that God has for us to do? And this is the penetrating question. This is the thing that this parable is built on. Is Jesus talking to these folks who were so sure that they had it right, that they couldn't see that their own self-centeredness was causing them not to do the things that God really wanted them to do? You hear us talk about this all the time. Is it enough to be busy for the kingdom of God? No, it's not. It is not enough to be busy for the kingdom of God. It's got to be focusing our lives on the things that God wants us to do over the busyness that the culture tells us makes us valuable. We are not valuable because we are on groups that make decisions. We're not valuable because we get our theology all right. We're valuable because God loves us and He has given us to be ambassadors to go share that love and that grace and that forgiveness with others. People who are redeemed, people who are changed, people who are humble before Him end up taking the step out and going and showing that and sharing that with other people. Has very little to do with having a perfect theology. Are we self-centered and choosing to neglect stuff that God has for us to do? Next question. Oh, actually, it's a point, I guess. The point is that our hearts and our actions do reveal our true obedience. And the last thing, God could care less about our religion. It's a simple story. It's a penetrating story. It's a story that's meant to help us to see things from a Godward perspective as opposed from our often distorted human perspective. How does this parable change the way that you see yourself? How does this parable change the way that you live the rest of this day and when you wake up tomorrow? Whenever we stand up here, whenever I stand up here to teach, the reality is if what I say is not something that is from God, you ought to just walk out. But the reality is if what you hear, if this moment is really important because something about God is being spoken, and He is revealing, not through me necessarily, but revealing to you right where you are, something that you need to hear, you need to know, then this moment, you have got this parable. If this was a nice little sermonette for Christianettes, you wasted your Sunday morning. Are you like me and you don't like to cut the grass? God's saying, you need to go cut the grass. So, are you going to say, yes, sir, and not go? Are you going to say, no, sir, and go? Or are you going to be one of the unusual ones that didn't make the story, that said, yes, sir, and go? Let's pray. Father, we are so hard-headed. Forgive us for our hard-headedness. Lord, help us to see that true humility, that faith that leads to action, is what You're all about. Lord, help us to repent of saying yes, sir, and then not being about the Father's work. Lord, I ask that You would keep speaking to us about what you're saying to us today. And Lord, I'm small enough to realize that you could be saying things to your people today that maybe go beyond even what I'm sharing. And I pray, Lord, that we will listen to what you're saying, that we will say yes, and we will act on it. Because that's the value of being before our God. Offering ourselves to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice because of what you've done for us in Jesus. Thank you that you've given us this gift. Thank you that you would call us your sons and have things for us to do that will last into eternity if we'll just get out there. When you came in, you probably got a card. I asked that if God's speaking to you about something that you want to share with Dusty, Dane, and I, we'll pray with you about any prayer request you have. But if there's something that God's speaking to you about that you're wrestling with and you want someone praying with you about that, I ask you to make a special note of that on that card. And we're going to be up here for a minute or two. Dusty and Dane and I, our wives can't be with us today because they're off having fun. But we ask that if this is the time you need to come, that you would come and you'd let us pray with you, especially about the things that God's telling you this morning, even more than any needs you might have to bring before Him today. So we're just going to take a couple of minutes to do that. And after about a minute or two, if you want to go ahead and take your cards or your offering and place it in one of the baskets, either in back or in front, you can do that too. But at the beginning, let's just open it up for you to come and we'll be happy to pray with you. Let's be the sons and daughters of God. Let's live like the family. That's the most important thing. Now, whenever we're through over here, we need to pray today. Dane, y'all know where Dane's going? Where's Dane going? England. Okay. The wilds of the ruddy Brits. Okay. So we need to be waiting on Dane. Dane, come on over here. And we are going to do the hands-on and sending Dane out whenever he's ready.
Might be a while. We got places to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bible says one of the places where you pour the oil so it goes all down and drips.
Didn't have a beard though. He didn't have the beard.
The day for that?
Yes.
Probably at the service at 6:00, there will be sweat dripping on my foot. Anyway.
See that? All right. So if y'all want to come up and lay hands on him, do that. No hands around his neck, though, okay?
That's the only reason I'm up here.
He's the one of them now.
They've got an exciting trip because there's some of it that they really don't know, parts of it. They're going to find out when they get over there. But just pray that as we're praying, God's going to give Dane and Doug, David Lonas, some of y'all remember David Lonas, he's on the team, wisdom and discernment to discern spirits, discern where they're going and how they're going to do what they're doing. They're going to need that, going to need us to be praying for them. We'll try to give you some updates via emails, okay? Dane, we anoint you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, we come in your presence. Your servant has submitted himself. Lord, you have led Dane to be part of this team. He does not take it lightly. And Lord, not assuming any answer from you, but hearing your voice. But Lord, we know you have directed him. You've directed Doug, David, for this particular trip, Lord. I'm asking you that you'll open up Europe open up Europe to Doug, to the gospel, Lord, so that people will come to you, Lord. And part of that is right there in England, Lord, in the UK. I'm asking you, God, that you'll go before them, that you'll guard and protect them. Lord, that you'll give them discernment. Show them what they need to see. Lord, I ask you that Lord, as they go right now, that they'll be putting on their armor, the armor of God, and knowing, Lord, that the battle is not against flesh and blood. Lord, I pray you'll remove the obstacles, and Lord, may they be able to do all that you've called them to do on this trip. We love you, and we thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, please protect Dane. Bring him back to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Make sure, where's Amy?
There she is.
Make sure that you give her a big hug. She needs them. She's been away a long time. We're so glad. Come here, baby. Come here. Lord, thank you for watching over this child and bringing her back home to us, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
She's still single.
She's still single. That's right.